There's a really brilliant man out there by the name of John Lott. He's really second to none when it comes to analyzing statistics and economics and so forth and so on. He took a really good look at the so-called Ferguson Report and the attacks on this police department in Missouri. John, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, Mark.
Now, John Lott, you took a look at this, and what did you find?
It was a pretty embarrassing report.
Okay, explain it to us.
They want to claim racial discrimination exists whenever differences exist between people, but they don't prove disparate treatment of blacks versus whites, let alone discrimination.
So let's start from the beginning. Hold on. I want to walk through this. What are the accusations, first of all, the primary accusations?
Well, the main statistical claim that they're saying is that when you look at traffic stops, blacks make up 67% of Ferguson's population, but they make up 85% of the vehicle stops that occur from traffic violations.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, they're saying, look, blacks are being stopped at a greater rate than their share of the population. And so they're taking that as evidence of discrimination.
No. What I mean is, what is your response to that?
Right. Let me give you an example from something else. Men are stopped nationally at a rate 42% higher than women are for traffic violations. Does that mean that cops nationwide are just sexist and biased against men? No, you'd think maybe one of the reasons why men are stopped much more frequently than women are because they're more likely to be breaking the traffic laws than women are. And so you'd want to go and look at the same thing for blacks. Are they, you know, committing traffic offenses at the same rate as other groups or not? Because they're assuming that they are. And in fact, when you go and you look at the data, you know, unfortunately, blacks are not only more likely to be involved in traffic accidents and more likely to be killed, unfortunately, in traffic accidents by twice the rate of their share of the population. But they're also much more likely to end up getting traffic tickets and moving violations for speeding and other.
Well, wouldn't we need to know, if this was a serious statistic, wouldn't we need to know the number of times people are, depending on their race, the number of opportunities there are to stop them? In other words, how often people drive. To say that, let's just pick the color pink and the color purple. That the pink people are stopped more than the purple people, and yet the pink people are stopped much more than their percentage of the population. Wouldn't I want to know how often the pink people are driving?
Yeah, you want to know that. You want to know how they drive, too. Are they driving as safely as the purple people are? But they don't even try. You know, the embarrassing thing about this report is their whole goal is just to say, see, I found a difference, therefore it must be due to discrimination. They don't even try to in any way control for the type of factor you brought up or the types of issues that I was raising either. And you see that throughout their report. They just want to say whenever there's a difference, that's all the proof they need of discrimination.
So they look for a pretext, they draw conclusions, and then they ratchet up their political agenda.
Right. So let me put it this way. So blacks in Ferguson make up 67%. They get stopped. 85% of the vehicle stops are blacks. But if blacks in Ferguson were stopped at the same rate as police stop blacks relative to whites nationwide, they would have been stopped at 87%. So, in fact, Ferguson is being painted as this hot.
Well, that's important. So, in other words, they would have been stopped more.
Right. They're being stopped less than the national rate that police stop blacks relative to other racial groups.
I guess that would tell the Holder and Obama Justice Department they need to nationalize more local police forces, I guess, right?
Right. Well, everybody other than Ferguson's where the problem is.
And so you looked at this data and you drew your conclusions. I immediately looked at it and said, wait a minute, this statistic, it's apples and bananas here, because you would need to know the occurrence and how often you drive, even if you're going to look at this, which is ridiculous. But if you are, the number of opportunities of stopping somebody, and the media just run with the propaganda, don't they?
No, I mean, I haven't really seen any critical comments on it. I mean, I guess I've seen one critical comment on Fox earlier by George Will, but he didn't get to the data. He was just saying that they haven't proved discrimination. They just proved, he said, that they were treating different groups differently. And when I looked at it, I don't even think that they're necessarily treating different groups differently. They haven't offered no evidence that they're treating different groups differently.
You know, there was never any smoking gun. There wasn't like the police chief saying in any email and any directive and any verbal directive, you know, stop more blacks or stop more minorities or stop less whites or go after this group. They have none of that.
Right. But they do have, as far as direct evidence, and they make a big deal about this, is they have seven emails that were done between 2008 and 2011, which they refer to as direct evidence of racial bias, where there were emails between officers. I don't even know how many years they looked at, but we know at least they looked at 7 years of emails from 2008 up through now.
Well, first of all, at least they had the emails to look at, you know, unlike Hillary Clinton, but go ahead.
Right. And so I'm not even sure the total number of officers. I think it's like over 60 that they had employed over that period of time, but we don't know. Was it one officer that sent out these emails? Was it two? Why did the objectionable email stop in 2011? Was it because those couple officers or whoever was sending it no longer worked for the police department, or that they were told that they had to stop doing it? But, you know, they don't use any of the information that they have to kind of anticipate what questions that people are going to have in response to their report. They just say, see, we found seven emails, and I'm assuming that they're correctly describing the emails there, you know, as offensive, but they're offensive, they say, to blacks or women or Muslims, possibly people of mixed race, offensive to the president and to the first lady, you know, so each email covers a different topic. But, you know, I'd like to know, if we're going to blame a whole department, are we talking about one officer that sent these seven emails or two? How many people sent these seven emails?
And we don't know.
We don't know, and they don't tell us.
Well, why don't, you know, like, that suggests something, doesn't it, if they don't tell us?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of things here that you know they know the answers to, and they don't tell you. So, for example...
Well, let me just put a fine point on this. So they don't tell us the number of officers who were involved in these email chains, do they?
No, they don't.
Well, why don't they? And the reason is... They don't want us to know. Why don't they want us to know? I have to assume if it was widespread, they would have told us it was widespread, don't you think?
No, I think you're exactly right.
What was your other point?
Another big point that they make is that blacks are 50% more likely to have their cases lead to arrest warrants. And they take this as strong evidence of discrimination. You know, I've been involved in law enforcement. I was chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission. Obviously, you know a fair amount about this, too. And there are lots of things that lead to arrest warrants. For example, missed court appearances, failure to pay required fines. I mean, you know, try not paying your next speeding ticket and see what happens. You
know, do they provide that data in this report?
No, they don't. They throw out the numbers saying that African Americans were 50% more likely to have arrest warrants than whites.
But so hold on, let me just slow you down. So what they don't tell us is why.
Exactly. And you know,
so you conclude that all these judges are racist and corrupt.
Correct. I mean, that's what they conclude.
It's pretty spectacular, isn't it? In a sickening way.
Well,
I think.
Here's
what I mean, John. If you have the goods on a community, if you have widespread racism within the police force, something should be done. You should expose it and tell us what you're talking about. If, in fact, one particular racial group has more arrest warrants than another, well, tell us why. What are the arrest warrants for? But they don't do any of that.
No, look, racism is a serious charge, and people who engage in racism should be shamed. But you shouldn't just go and just say wherever you see a difference, assume that it's racism there. You have to, first of all, make sure there is a real difference. You know, as we said before, just because men are 42% more likely to be pulled over for traffic stops nationwide, doesn't you don't automatically assume that the cops are sexist against men.
Or targeting men.
I mean, I admit I probably have a lead foot when I drive. But it's
I have to tell you, every time a cop has stopped me, they were in the right, quite frankly.
Right. Well, I'm in the same boat. So, look.
As a matter of fact, when they stop me, I don't give any lip. I say, how fast was I going? It's been a while, but I'll say, they'll tell me. I say, okay, sorry. You know, right. A lot of people pretend they get indignant. Well, what do you mean? Well, what do you mean? You know what you were doing. I know what I was doing.
Sure.
No, John Lott, you're one of the few with the guts to actually talk about this stuff in a rational way. I want to thank you, my friend. You have a piece in the New York Post today, and we will link to that as well.
Well, I appreciate it. I wanted to say, if people want to get more information, they can go to our website, crimeresearch.org.
Let's post that, crimeresearch.org.
Right. If people are interested, we're going to be having a dinner in Nashville.
All right, that's enough. You can put it on your website, and if people want to look, they can go there.
Your people said I could mention it. So
yeah, I can't promote the dinners and everything. But, John, good job. I really appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark.
All right. Take care. So we can put that on the website if you want to go to the dinner or whatever. We can do that. But I can't have all these events announced on the radio where there'll be no end to it. John Lott is a good man. And this is a fascinating response that he has to this report. And his point is, and, you know, I'm no statistician, but my point, too, was, well, who is driving the most in that community? It's not a question of race per se, but if you want to look at it as race per se, then we need to know not just which races are being stopped more than others, but which races are driving more than others. Well, they don't tell us. That's number one. Number two, as John Lott just pointed out, they said, look at all the arrest warrants, African-American community, there's more arrest warrants issued. Well, what are they issued for? Are they just willy-nilly issuing arrest warrants? I seriously doubt that. What are they being issued for? Now, the Justice Department Uncivil Rights Division, they know, but they didn't put it in their report. They were given a mission by Eric Holder and Obama. Seek and destroy. Seek and destroy this community. And it was built on a pretext. It was built on a pretext. And that pretext, of course, was that Michael Brown was murdered in cold blood with his hands in the air as he was surrendering. Seems to me Obama and Holder owe the people of Ferguson, black, white, and in between, an apology. But that ain't never going to happen. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.